Thank you. Be seated. Court is ready to hear argument from petitioners in Atascosa County versus Atascosa County Appraisal.
May it please the court, Ms. Renee Fornash McElhaney will present argument for petitioner. Petitioner has reserved 5 minutes for rebuttal.
I represent Atascosa County and Jurgensen Innocent School District, the taxing units, and the petitioners in this appeal. The issue on this appeal is the construction of the tax code specifically.
May I ask a question?
Yes, sir.
There's matters that have been filed with us that, quote, the case has been settled, but there seems to be a disagreement between the parties on how far the settlement goes. Is that a correct assessment of where we are today?
Yes, Your Honor, that's correct. May
I ask, to get this down to what's left to be talked about, has the issue of the tax treatment for years 95 through 98 been settled?
Yes, Your Honor.
And has that also decided the charitable tax exemption for those years?
To the extent that the Hospital Association concedes that the exemption was, that they are not entitled to the exemption in 1995, yes, that issue has been settled.
All right, now does that leave us to resolve or argue about whether limitations as far as the actual taxes that may be due from 1990 to 1994?
That is correct, Your Honor. I wouldn't
And then finally, whether they can seek them.
Correct. We still have at issue a financial stake in the controlling issue on this appeal, the substantive issue that I'd like to
hear about this morning.
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay.
And that is the construction of the tax code relative to Section 11.243I, Section 25.21, Section 41, and Section 43 that relates to the procedure by which a taxing entity has a constitutional obligation to back appraise property that was erroneously exempted and therefore omitted from past years' tax rolls. To understand and appreciate the concept of the procedure that the tax code encompasses, we need to look back and see historically what the Texas tax scheme has been. Since 1879, the Texas legislature has provided for recapture of property that has been omitted in the past because of an erroneous exemption. The legislature at that time mandated that omitted property was supposed to be, there's a constitutional obligation to place onto the current year's tax rolls property that has been erroneously exempted and therefore omitted from previous year's tax rolls. So onto the current year's tax roll, in this example, in this case, it would have been 1995. There is a statutory and constitutional obligation that the proper taxing entity or officer place onto the 95 tax roll those pieces of property that were improperly omitted because they were erroneously exempted. That's an obligation that we find statutorily since 1879, and we also see a constitutional obligation. We see that in Article 8, Section 1, which requires for uniform and equal taxation. Also, we see that in Article 8, Section 11, that constitutionally requires the proper officer, taxing officer, to assess all property that has not been rendered. And that is, in effect, what happened in this case.
The property's been rendered, but they've gotten an exemption for those. Isn't that correct? Actually, there's no question it was not rendered. But you have to render it and then tell them, but so be it. It's to be exempt. Isn't that right?
Under Section 11.18, which is the operative exemption statute for the property at issue in this case, it was a charitable exemption. And back in 1988, the property was rendered. And the appraisal district at that time made the erroneous conclusion that the property was exempt. because they had the misunderstanding that the Hospital Association was using the property for charitable purposes. However, since 1988, and at that point, the property became considered exempt, and every year the Hospital Association was not required to reapply for that exemption, as is common with quite a number of exemptions, like the homestead exemption, the Freeport exemption, the agricultural rollback exemption. A taxpayer is not required to reapply every year for that exemption. So the property goes off the roll in 1988, and it stays off the roll every year after that until something like this may happen, or until the taxpayer does what the taxpayer is required to do under the Constitution and under the tax code, and that is render the property back, provide notice to the taxing unit or the taxing entity that, in fact, they are not entitled to the exemption. That didn't happen in this case. What happened in this case was that the appraisal district and Jordanton Independent School District realized that 11.18 does not apply, that in fact what has happened is the Hospital Association has leased that property to a for-profit hospital, Tri-City Community Hospital. Since 1988, that property then was used for profit and was not actually entitled to the exemption. So what we see happening is in 1994, actually December of 1994, the first step that Atascosa County, the taxing unit took, Atascosa County and Jordanton Independent School District, was that these taxing units approached the chief appraiser of Atascosa Appraisal District and pointed out to the chief appraiser that the exemption was improper. The appraiser took no action. So what happened was the appraisal or the taxing unit did exactly what the tax code requires them to do. And they filed a challenge petition within the timely framework to challenge.
And there's no dispute that all the time periods required in the statute were complied with in 1995.
Yes, Joanna, that is correct. There's no dispute regarding that. What's important to note conceptually is that these taxing units were challenging the 1995 tax roll. And the 1995 tax roll could contain a lot of things, but the two things that are most important that they could, for our appeal, is it was supposed to contain the property for 1995 assessed at its 1995 value. That is the issue that has been resolved by the party. The second aspect, the second category of property that the tax roll was supposed to have on it in 1995, and the subject of this lawsuit, is the property from 90 to 94. According to 25.21, the proper procedure is for the appraisal district to place on the 95 tax roll the property and note the year it was omitted and the value of the property on those years. That is the aspect of the 1995 tax roll that we are currently disputing in this appeal. For it is our belief that when you look at the language of 11.43I and 2521, when you look at the extensive legislative history that discusses the long-standing principle within the tax code to permit, not just permit back appraisal, but in fact to constitutionally obligate tax or back appraisal of property that has been improperly omitted because of an erroneous exemption.
What showing does the taxing unit have to make that there was an error?
I think the answer to that is really twofold. The first is that the taxing unit can present that what is a factual and legal argument and to the chief appraiser. That's the first step. At least that's what was taken in this case. And the chief appraiser took no action at that time. So because this is a constitutionally mandated obligation, the taxing unit, Atascosa County and New Jersey in an independent school district, took it to the next step, which was to follow the Section 41 procedure, which is to challenge the 1995 tax roll. Because when the tax roll was sent by the chief appraiser, to the appraisal district. The appraisal district did not, and the chief appraiser had not placed onto the 1995 tax roll the omitted property for years 90 through 94.
Let me ask you how this works. Now, on the year 1990, it goes off the rolls. The taxing unit could have contested that.
That's correct.
In 92, 91, when it didn't appear on the roll, the taxing unit, could the taxing unit in 1992 have contested the fact it was not on the rolls in 1990?
According to the Texas Constitution and our interpretation of the tax code, yes, based on section 11.43i.
And that is that as long as it's within 5 years of when it was put on exemption, the taxing unit can challenge at any time.
That is absolutely correct. And that is
so you're not relying on a chief tax appraiser who corrects a mistake within a 5-year period. You're simply saying that there's an independent authority of a taxing unit to challenge an exemption at any time within 5 years of it being granted.
What they're challenging, Your Honor, is they're challenging the chief appraiser's failure to find the chief appraiser's failure to satisfy his constitutional obligation to back assess property that has been erroneously exempted.
Okay, let me go be back and clear. Is the section you're referring to, the only reason you say a taxing unit can attack the tax exemption given to some property over a 5-year period is because the chief appraiser has been given the authority to correct a mistake within the 5 years of having granted the exemption?
That's partially correct. We do rely on 11.43, which I wouldn't say gives the chief appraiser the authority. I would say gives the chief appraiser the constitutional obligation to back assess improperly exempted property. In addition, we rely on Section 43 that says that a taxing unit can compel a taxing officer, be it a chief appraiser, appraisal review board, or appraisal district, to satisfy their obligations under the code. So there's two avenues that can be taken. The first avenue is Section 41, where what you're doing is the appraisal district, the taxing unit are requesting that the chief appraiser perform his obligations pursuant to 11.43.
Sort of like a mandamus.
It's very similar to a mandamus, Your Honor. Section 41 is very much like a mandamus.
Envision remedy from this court to be to order the tax appraiser to do what?
That the tax appraiser would put onto the 1995 tax roll the specific property, noting the years 90 through 94 and noting the value of that property in years 90 through 94. That's what 2521.
You don't need the chief appraiser to do that.
Well, the chief appraiser acts as the agent of the appraisal district. The appraisal district, the proper procedure is for the appraisal district to order the chief appraiser to perform this task, or make a finding, and then the chief appraiser is supposed to follow that finding. In this case,
that's all you're seeking is just that he assess a value to him for those years.
Exactly.
You're not really asking that any taxes be collected as a result of that.
That's correct. Because tax collection is a responsibility. We go one step further than where we are right now. The first step is to get the property on the tax roll for 1995 and get it appraised on the tax roll. The second step then is for the taxing unit to go and assess the property. And after they've assessed the property, then they can collect the tax. But we haven't gotten to assessment, and we haven't gotten to collections, because we can't get to the first step, which is appraisal. And we see that is both under Section 41 and Section 43. I wanted to point out that there is not a time bar in this case. Certainly, it's not limitations. The only limitations that would be applicable in this case is the 5-year limitations that provides that an erroneous exemption can be rescinded, and the omitted property can be recaptured for a five-year period. In this instance, it would be 90 to 94. There's no question that that limitation period has not been implicated in this case. There's no question. The issue that has been misconstrued is the time bar under Section 41. And the reason why there's a misunderstanding is because there's a misunderstanding of what a tax roll contains. And that's the point I'd like to make today, is that the tax roll contains two categories of property. The first is the property by its value on that current year, that is 1995. And then the second category is the property based on its omitted value, or based on its value in those omitted years. In this instance, 90 through 94.
Another question. Thank you.
Thank you.
Court is ready to hear argument from respondent.
May it please the court, Mr. Joseph M. Harrison and Mr. Peter William Bowe represent our respondent. Mr. Harrison will open the first 10 minutes.
Thank you. May it please the court. My name is Joseph Harrison with Bruce Dan Clement Harrison and McCool. We represent Atascosa Hospital Association, a Texas nonprofit hospital association, which recovered summary judgment at the district court level and an affirmance of that judgment by the Court of Appeals. I'm going to keep my remarks very brief, primarily because by instruction of my client, we have settled our monetary interest in this lawsuit. I am not here, and for the record, I am not here to argue to the court that based on that settlement that this appeal is moot. The petitioners obviously reserve the right within the body of that settlement document to continue on with this appeal. I'm not asking the court to dismiss the appeal for the reason of the settlement. But I have been instructed, because they no longer really have a vested interest in the outcome of the appeal, not to fully brief the issues and just really offer a few brief remarks and answer any questions that the court may have. Let me take just a few moments to do that, and then the only other thing that we would do is stand on the briefing that we have filed in the Court of Appeals below, and as well as our response to the petition for review, which we think...
If the taxing unit is able to put the hospital on the rolls, disregarding any settlement, the hospital would then have an opportunity to contest that appraisal?
That's correct, Your Honor. In fact, and first just to back up, we ought to be clear because this keeps getting left out of the petitioner's briefing. We're talking about a partial exemption. I mean, there's mention of Tri-City as a for-profit lessee, and this hospital has always been partially on the roll to the extent of the lessee's interest. There's a Section 2313 of the tax code that deals with the taxation of lessee interest in that case, and that's always been the situation was from 1988 to 1995. But you're right, Your Honor. In fact, the challenge petition they filed was timely in 1995. The Appraisal Review Board granted them relief for 1995, refused to give them back their relief, put the property, eliminated the partial exemption, put the property on the rolls for 1995 only. We ultimately appealed that decision against the appraisal district in district court, where most of these battles are customarily fought, and that was part of our recent settlement that's been settled. But yeah, yes, Your Honor, that would be the mechanism.
Do you agree or disagree that there's a duty and, in fact, statutory and constitutional provisions that provide for back appraisal?
Well, we have to be careful with our terminology because you have one set of rights, responsibilities, and powers reserved to the appraisal districts and chief appraisers versus the powers reserved to the tax
unit. But the appraisal district, the chief appraiser, and then the appraisal district can, in fact, go in addition to putting an appraised value for the property in the current year, can also put in the omitted value for other years on a then-current roll.
If a chief appraiser... Let me distinguish between that and what the chief appraiser and what they actually challenge in the challenge petition under 1143I. Clearly, if a chief appraiser finds that an exemption previously granted or a partial exemption was erroneous, then it is his or her obligation to then add the property back onto the rolls.
No one's challenging anymore whether or not that was erroneous.
No, that's not correct.
See, I thought what we were challenging here is the procedure. Isn't that what your challenge is?
Part of the problem is here is You know, petitioner briefing makes it sound, it kind of assumes away the merits, but we did not reach the merits of the case, and we do not concede the merits of the case.
I thought you settled it there.
Pardon me?
I thought you settled it there.
We have settled, we have entered into a settlement agreement which has, you know, certain settlement recitals and provides for certain agreed values and tax payments.
But you agreed with the exemption was wrong in the prior use.
We have a settlement agreement which recites language to that effect for purposes of resolving all of our tax liability.
How is that different from this?
Pardon me?
You've agreed that it is, that the exemption was wrong in the prior years.
Well, I certainly don't concede that the exemption was erroneous in the prior years. We never got to the merits of the case. When we settled our tax liability and settled the values, the tax units insisted on a recital in there that the exemption was, we're not entitled to the exemption. There was no monetary impact to that for us, so we put that in there.
Well, you're not taking it back.
We're not taking back the terms of the settlement agreement. Right. The district court never reached the merits of the exemption issue.
But it's been foreclosed by your agreement since.
Well, are you going to use the settlement agreement or we're not? There is that recital in the settlement agreement.
All right, so all we're talking about now is the procedure. Isn't that what's at issue, what can and cannot happen? We're not dealing with in the exemption itself anymore.
We are dealing with the procedure and to whom the legislature has reserved the rights to carry out this process, because essentially the tax units are claiming the right to step into the chief appraiser's shoes and themselves.
They're claiming the right to challenge what happens during the appraisal process.
They're claiming the right to challenge outside of the time constraints of Chapter 41.
Right. What time constraints are they operating outside of?
Well, it should be provisions of Chapter 41 concerning challenge petitions establishes a May 31st or there's a certain time frame before the certification of the role deadline.
All right,
to follow.
And then the question is, what's in the role for that year? Isn't that then the underlying question?
No, because what they're challenging is five separate decisions, all right? In 1990, the chief appraiser determined that this property was entitled to a partial exemption. They're challenging that 1990 decision. A similar decision in 91.
Okay, 92, do you agree that the appraisal role for a particular year can include, in fact, the value for that year plus omitted value for previous years within the limitations period?
If
yes or no? I mean, can the role include it or not? Omitted value.
Would that omitted value be added on to this year's appraisal
role?
Yes, it would.
So the appraisal role for 1995 then could include the value for 1995 plus the omitted values for other years.
If the chief appraiser made that determination.
And if they decided not to put the omitted values on there, then the taxing authority can in fact challenge, correct?
In that tax year.
In that tax year for what's on the roll in that year, which would include the omitted value.
No, they have to challenge in the year that the decision is made. They're challenging the chief appraiser's
How are omitted values ever a factor? If once the year is gone, it's gone and you can never do anything about it.
Because the legislature has distinguished between the powers it reserved to independent chief appraisers, separate and apart from tax units. Tax units used to do all of this. And they carved out a set of responsibilities for appraisers. They said, chief appraiser, you're the professional independent body. You can go back up to 5 years if you make that determination. Tax units, we are not going to let you give you open-ended rights to second-guess everything appraisal
districts
do.
I'm not sure your answer. Maybe we're not communicating. I thought her question was, once the chief appraiser determined that the exemptions were erroneous and adds them into a current year,
yes,
then the tax units are free to say, well, you didn't appraise, even though you're now taking away the exemption, you still haven't appraised them at a high enough value.
Well,
it's still challenged once they're put on the rolls in that current year.
You can't file a challenge petition on a particular property value. 41 prohibits that. First of all, so you know, a valuation on your example. But the other problem here is what are the petitioners trying to challenge? Not some act that occurred in 1995. They were timely there. But the decision in 1990 to grant the partial exemption in 91, 92, 93, 94, those decisions had to be challenged
Once the chief appraiser says, whoops, in 95, I should have not granted these exemptions, goes back and brings them current, puts them on the 95 roll, what right do the taxing units have to challenge the valuation or anything else they want to challenge about bringing those onto the current roll?
Once they've been put on, if they're actually put on the rolls, then there are no tax unit rights to challenge a particular property value. what they can challenge the erroneous grant of an exemption. So the property's not
your argument, it seems to me, is that the tax, that the authority, the decision whether to go back and take the previous 4 years of tax-exempt status, that values, and put it on the current appraisal is a discretion exercised solely by the chief tax appraiser on behalf of the appraisal district. There is no authority for a taxing unit to compel the chief tax appraiser to put those units on that tax year.
Not once the time frame for a timely challenge petition has run.
That's what I'm saying.
Right.
Because they have, within 1 year of the exemption being exercised, the taxing unit has to challenge that exemption.
And
after having failed to do that, the only person who can put that property back on the tax rolls for a retrospective period of time, previous years over which the appeals already have run, is the taxer, is the chief tax appraiser. That is your issue. That's your point.
That's correct, John.
And the taxing of the unit's point is, oh, no, if a tax appraiser can do that, then we have the authority to compel the tax appraiser to do that by looking at the general scheme of the taxing statutes. And your argument says, well, that's inconsistent with the fact that the statute specifically requires them to make an objection to the exemption during the year that the exemption is granted.
And it's also inconsistent with the carving out of certain responsibilities to the chief appraiser. If you give tax units an open-ended right to second guess, but compel the chief appraiser to make findings, to discover erroneous exemption grants, to make the determinations that they want, you've really just undermined, if not destroyed, the independence of the central appraiser.
Well, there's no question that the code gives the taxing authority the right to file a challenge petition.
That's correct, within the time
limitation. And so you're pinning all that you've got on the fact that the statute in section 1143F talks about a chief appraiser discovering, and that's the only mechanism in which a back appraisal can be done. If the chief appraiser chooses not to do a back appraisal, then too bad.
Well,
no challenge.
Not too bad, because there is a window, and the window was carefully created to hopefully allow it to be addressed before the appraisal roll is certified. There's a window for the tax unit to come in and say, hey, you've left this on
the
roll.
I understand, but you're talking about you're talking about 1 year at a time. And
correct.
Basically what you're saying is when it comes to back appraising, the authority to back appraise sits with the chief appraiser and no one else, and his decision cannot be challenged in the year that he makes the decision to back appraise or not to back appraise.
There is no independent right to compel a chief appraiser to go back.
That's what I mean. So if in this instance the county and the school district in 1992 had said we don't like that exemption and filed a challenge at that point in time, they can go forward with a challenge petition.
That would have been timely for that year,
okay.
1992.
But in 1995, if the chief appraiser does not decide to back appraise in 1995, the taxing authority at that point in time can have no say one way or the other on what the chief appraiser decides to do.
As to prior years, there is no independent statutory mechanism to make him find what the tax units want him to find. That's the hallmark of our independent central appraisal system. It worked pretty well. It doesn't always work perfectly, but it worked pretty well here. Two chief appraisers refused to knuckle under to that pressure, and they refused to make that finding.
The time is pretty well expired for this lawyer, so there's no further questions.
Thank you.
May it please the court, my name is Peter Lowe, and I represent the Atascosa County Appraisal District. I've taken the position all along that this case has been off on the wrong track from the day it was moved. Your Honor, it's critical to point out in this case that the hospital has never had an ARB hearing. In this case, this court has held, and other courts have held any number of times, that the cornerstone of the property tax code is the administrative review protest, and without going through the administrative review protest, there is no jurisdiction to levy a tax. I've lost track of the number of cases that have held that. The hospital has never had an ARB hearing. They are not a party to the challenge hearing. The challenge is between the appraisal district and the taxing units. The way the system works and the way the system did work was that the hospital, as soon as the ARB ruled that the appraisal district must place the property on the tax roll, the order, which is in the record, requires the chief appraiser to go out and appraise the property. First of all, we get a market value put on it. Then we notify the hospital that they're entitled to protest at the ARB, and they're entitled to protest both the market value of the property and the fact that the exemption has been denied. That hasn't been done yet, just to begin with.
But isn't that the whole point, that that's what they're trying to get at? Isn't that what the taxing units want to happen? They want it to be put on the roll so that there can be this hearing, and all this can be determined.
Well, yes, ma'am, but they didn't go about it with the mechanism that's designed to do that.
Why does it undermine the independence of the chief appraiser to have some sort of oversight in his decision on whether to back appraise or not?
Well, the problem arises with the direct intervention of the taxing units to the chief appraiser. The appraisal district is an independent political subdivision in the state of Texas, and that's in 6.01C. As such, the board of directors of the appraisal district runs an independent political subdivision. You've got the taxing units, independent themselves political subdivisions, telling the chief administrator of another chief of political subdivision how to appraise property. Your Honor, I cut my...
Well, you're not telling them. You're saying, I raise the issue, and then it has to be resolved. They're not, they don't dictate.
Exactly. And the remedy, Your Honor, for the taxing units, if they feel a chief appraiser is doing a sorry job, or they think the chief appraiser is not doing his job, or the chief appraiser is rude to him, is to go to the board of directors of the appraisal district and say, we're unhappy.
Well, logically, they could challenge that in any given year, they could challenge the failure to include property on the roll.
May I address that? Your Honor, this property has been on the roll all the time. There's a misconception that it's omitted. I've seen that stated.
Well, the partial exemption can challenge the partial exemption in any given year.
Right. The
property, how does it undermine the chief appraiser's independence to have his decision not to do a back appraisal questioned?
Well, where do you stop, Your Honor? I mean, I get, in one case, it doesn't
5 years back.
Pardon?
You stop 5 years back.
Well, what I mean is, if you can challenge one decision of the chief appraiser, why can't you challenge any decision of the chief appraiser? My concern, and it's a very real concern based on my experience in this practice, is that if the taxing unit, I'm not going to cry one tenth of a tear if our taxing units get more money. But I say to the court, I'm very concerned about the prospects in the future. If you're saying to appraisal districts, anytime the taxing units think you've underappraised something, they can challenge it, ought to be able to. Then really, that's kind of fine with me, but I don't think that's good law.
What does 4301 mean?
4301, Your Honor, says you can sue the appraisal district. It doesn't say the chief appraiser, as the petitioners have repeated over and over and over in their brief, appraisal district and chief appraiser. I think it means, in fact, I'm confident it means that if the appraisal district does not comply with chapters 5 and 6, appraisal district board of directors refuses to hire a chief appraiser, doesn't use budget money to get a rollout, things like that, administrative matters.
So when it says in 1143I, the chief appraiser shall add the property, there's just, if he doesn't, the remedy is political.
Well, Your Honor, first of all, they're assuming that the property was erroneously exempted.
Assume that with me.
Okay.
The only remedy is political.
Yes, sir.
Just getting fired if you don't like what he's doing.
Or recall the board of directors and get some board of directors in there who will.
Well, what is Chapter 41 supposed to do then?
Well, Chapter 41 puts very strict limitations on what taxing units can challenge, Your Honor. In fact, that Section 4104 gives you till June 1st or 15 days, and that's it. And they're very strictly laid out.
Well, I understand that, but okay. We don't have any debate that in 1995 they met those particular deadlines.
For tax year 1995, no debate.
I mean, in 1995,
everything was timely.
Calendar year, everything was timely in 1995.
That's correct, Your Honor.
And the argument, as I understand it, is that they could file a challenge, and they could challenge the rolls for 1995.
Well, they could challenge the exemption.
Exemption, as it stood on the roll.
Correct.
In 1995.
And they did properly do that.
Okay. But they cannot file a challenge in 1995 as to whether or not the roll includes a back appraiser.
That's correct if you believe Section 4104 means what it says. It clearly says June 1st or 15 days within notice of the appraisal records.
And those appraisal records for 1995 did or did not include back appraised property for other years? Did it include back appraised property on other property? Could it have?
Yeah, well, it could have, but there's no, I don't know how they would go about challenging.
The point is that when you look at an appraisal roll in 1995, it would include, as your opponents say, property, the appraisals for 1995, plus they could include, assuming omitted property, they could include appraisals for other years.
Technically, I believe the way that would be done, Your Honor, is they would supplement the appraisal rolls for 94, 93, 92, 91, and issue a change order to the tax amendments. If the chief appraiser...
The 1995 records only include
right.
appraisals for that particular year.
That's correct, Your Honor.
I do. Where is the term appraisal district defined?
It's constitutional, Your Honor. It's in the Constitution, Article 8, I want to say Section 1 or 2, and I get it's basically it's defined as boards of the Board of Equalization, something shall sit for each county.
Is the chief appraiser part of the appraisal district?
He is the chief administrator of the district, and I believe that is addressed in the, my mind is blanking, that is addressed in the tax code, and I'm looking for it, but he is the chief administrator of the district. He's hired by the board of directors, and that's all laid out in Chapter 6 of the property tax code.
Thank you, Kevin.
I'd just like to make a few comments. The first is that I think this court is right that the chief appraiser should not be allowed to have complete discretion to choose not to perform a constitutionally and statutorily mandated obligation.
Why should you have 5 years instead of one to ferret out exemptions that shouldn't have been granted?
I think that's a real good question. And what you need to look at is the entire tax code. The tax code is created with the underlying premise that mistakes are going to be made, and that if those mistakes happen, that the taxing unit and the tax, and even like the taxing entities, like the chief appraiser, have the ability to go back and recapture. We see that throughout the tax code. We see it in the homestead exemption. We did an extensive review of the legislative history in this case, and quite a bit of the legislative history talked extensively about the underlying premise of the tax code system, or the taxing system, whether it was code or pre-code, that there is this ability to go back and recapture property that was incorrectly omitted from...
But the legislature could have, reasonably, said that with respect to taxing units, you've got a year to examine these rolls. And if you think there are exemptions or partial exemptions that shouldn't have been granted, you've got a year to bring it up. We're going to give 5 years to the chief appraiser. We're going to give him more latitude to come back and sweep up the mistakes. But it's keeping it opened up to the whole world, we're only going to give you 1 year. What's wrong with that kind of regulatory scheme?
Well, what's wrong with it is that it's contrary to the rest of the tax code. The tax code includes provisions. For the one that jumps out to mind is the agricultural exemption, which includes a rollback, a five-year rollback, so that if a landowner classifies a property as agricultural, and then the next year classifies the property as commercial, then the tax code requires a rollback of 5 years to recapture the higher value of the property. This is one of those things.
But how is that at odds with confining taxing units, giving them 1 year to make whatever challenges they want to make?
Well,
yet giving the chief appraiser an additional 4 years if there are other errors.
It's contrary to the tax code, and what we see as an example in the agricultural exemption, because the idea of the legislature was to allow an opportunity for taxing units and for those who benefit from the taxes, the school districts that require that money to be able to have the schools and to educate the children, have give them the opportunity to review the tax rolls to find out if there's been an improper exemption. Because the Constitution...
If the chief appraiser decides in his discretion that there was no exemption, then that can be litigated? Is that...
The proper method would be through Section 41, because Section 41 would then allow the appraisal or the taxing unit to go to the appraisal review board and say this analysis was improper, and that's exactly what happened. The taxing units went to the appraisal review board and said, look at this exemption that was started in 1988. In fact, this exemption is incorrect. The same set of facts.
Did that happen here on the back screen?
Yes. The same set of facts that the appraisal review board used to determine that the exemption was incorrect in 1995 was the same set of facts that would have been applicable to 90 through 94.
Then that means that the provision that says that the appraisal unit should challenge this within the year is just superfluous. Because really what controls is the appraisal district can challenge it up to 5 years after the exemption has been granted.
Your Honor, it's not superfluous, because what would be superfluous is if we were not allowed to go back and challenge failure to back assess, because then, in fact, there could be a constitutional obligation and a statutory obligation to back assess, and then no method by which to make sure that constitutional obligation was satisfied.
Your opponent says that the appropriate way to deal with this, since this was not omitted property under the statute. Do you agree with that? It was omitted property or not?
I disagree with that.
Okay. So you think that property that's included partially but not completely then does qualify as omitted property under Section 2521?
Yes, and there's
any case for that? Okay. He says that the appropriate way for the appraiser to deal with this is not by using the current year tax rolls, the year in which the mistake is discovered and the effort to back appraise is undertaken, but in fact to supplement previous year's tax rolls.
I respectfully disagree with counsel. The Friedrich case illustrates that the proper thing to do is to add, and 25.21 specifically states, that what you're supposed to do is put on the current year tax roll that property and note the year that it was omitted and the value of the property for that year. My time is expired.
Any other questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
The court will take another 3%.
All right.